Welcome to The Blaze. This is episode 270. I'm your host, Alejandro Oveda. You have now pushed play to another blazing week, and I got to tell you, what an amazing week we've been having. You know, the weather is nice. The sun is out. We're getting ready for the springtime as summer is starting to approach, as the weather is starting to warm up. I mean, last week I was burning up. It felt like it was already 90 degrees, but it only hit, you know, into the lower 80s, but still, I was out there sweating. Your boy was just hot. I just couldn't wait, you know, for this week to start, because we are going to see a little bit lower temperatures until we get into the weekend. So this week, you know, it has been in the lower 70s and into the higher 70s. But later on this week, we will be seeing some, you know, 80 degree to 77 degree weather. I mean, this is the best time of year, as you know, it starts getting cold around 7 o'clock. And that's what time, like the sun sets around seven. But it's still beautiful outside. I mean, you wake up in the morning and you just want to get out of bed, as you know, I've been sleeping with the window open, as it has been such nice mornings. Usually around this time, it's already like hot. You know, I feel like we're already towards summer as we approach May. This is like the last week of April, so we are moving at a fast pace towards, you know, next month, and by the time we get to the next pod, it will already be May. So this is our last week of April that we got to enjoy. Like I said, the weather is just beautiful. There's a lot of things going on this weekend, but the weather is just going to be amazing for you guys, as you know, Fresno is one of those places where you only get like 2 weeks of really spring and 2 weeks of fall. Like, you only get so much good weather until that summer heat comes. But you could already feel it, and we're going to be seeing it some next week. But, you know, we got to enjoy it, as, you know, Friday it looks like it might have a chance of rain, but it will probably clear up around Saturday. And I don't think it's going to rain for too long, as, you know, this weather is definitely nice, but it will be a chance of some showers. We're going to be probably seeing some tropical storms that day. So that's a day that, you know, we will be looking forward to. But at the same time, the next day on Saturday is going to be amazing. Just like this past weekend, I mean, we ended up going out to Fresno Swap Meet right out there at the Fresno Fairgrounds. This was actually our first time going out there, and I have to say I was really impressed with the swap meet. Me and my wife just like to go out to swap meets just to see what kind of little things that they got, you know, to buy, and also seeing all the vendors that are out there, local vendors at that. And we saw so many different things, especially compared to Cherry Auction, which I felt like, you know, Fresno Swap Meet actually competes with the Cherry Auction, which I always thought like Cherry Auction was like the best swap meet. But you know, that Fresno Swap Meet was actually really impressive. A lot of places that we ended up stopping, I ended up getting a few, you know, knick-knack toys. They ended up having like this Shaq Attack toy that I remember back in the 90s. They used to have like Shaq Foo. They had, you know, they had Shaq at LSU. They had Shaq with Orlando. They had these different race cars that I did not pick up, but I definitely wanted to. But they just had different things out there that I haven't seen before, which was kind of impressive. Like, we go to San Diego to go visit my family in San Diego. We like to go out there to the swap meet. It's called Kobe Swap Meet. And that place, to me, is the best place to be. You can find produce, you can find anything that you're looking for, even making deals. Like, that place is the best. But I would have to say Fresno Swap Meet is almost on that level. It was amazing just seeing the food vendors, just seeing all the different vendors out there, and just being out there with the community. I think this swap meet in Fresno is something that we want to start maybe going to every other weekend, just to support, just to see what people are selling and see what the trends are. But that's just how nice of a day it was this past week. We were able to, you know, walk every freaking aisle. It did get kind of, you know, hot towards, you know, the end of the swap meet, towards like 2 or 3. But we ended up, you know, just hanging out for a while, just getting some fresh air and enjoying this valley air. As you know, the weather right now is just what I love about Fresno. You don't need a sweater. You don't need, you know, pants on right now. It's like the perfect weather just to get out there with some shorts, short sleeve shirt, and enjoy that valley air. But also this week, we've just been, you know, just trying to get some cleaning done around the house, as the weather has been really nice. And, you know, the last couple weeks have been nothing but rain. So we ended up having to, you know, do some yard work, do some work inside the house, as we are getting ready for the summer. And, you know, that transition to summer comes really quick. So we have like a limited bit of time to get a lot of the work done. That way we're not working in the hot. You know, I don't want to be out there in the triple digits doing things that I should have done months ago. So we have been, you know, slowly getting on a grind, trying to get things done around the house. And that's been one thing for us this past week that we've been really trying to focus on, one task at a time. And we've been seeing how this has been leading us to our goal of getting, you know, we really want to do our own yard sale, maybe even do, you know, a little swap meet, you know, a day or two. But we have so many kids' clothes. We have so many clothes. We just have stuff that is a lot older. You grow out of technology that you grow out of. Just stuff that has just been laying around that we could probably get some good change for. So I am looking forward to, you know, doing a yard sale or going out to Cherry Auction or doing a Fresno swap meet, you know, just vendor booth, just to try to get rid of this stuff. I think it's good to, you know, to donate, but at the same time, I'm going to donate all this stuff. Like, that's a lot of damn stuff. So I'm definitely trying to just get most of it out of my hair and make sure that I'm either getting a little bit of money for it or just, you know, making sure it goes to a good place, because that's literally what we want to do, just get rid of it. Like these kids' clothes, man, I don't know what to do with all this stuff. It's crazy. You accumulate so much things throughout time, junk that you don't really even really notice until you're cleaning it. Like, you know, it's just stuck on a wall or in a closet or in a drawer. And once you pull it out, it's like, damn, I have all this stuff, you know. And then now we got a house full of junk that we're really looking forward to getting rid of. So that yard sale is going to come sooner than later. And I will let you guys know as we will make those moves, as we will maybe go out to Cherry Auction or swap meet. But so far, we have just been trying to gather our junk. That way we know exactly what we could sell out there. And you know, I'm not looking to make $1 million or $1,000. I'm just looking to get rid of junk. So it's been a crazy process trying to get all that done, but it is going to be a goal of mine to get it done in the next, hopefully, 2 or 3 months, you know, slowly but surely. But this week has been a great week for the pod. I mean, I've been seeing how you guys have been receiving the last couple episodes, and I just got to say thank you for all your guys' support each and every week. Your support goes a long way for this independent podcast. And I just want to let you guys know, you guys can find this podcast on Spotify, Apple, anywhere you guys get your podcast. If you have not shared this podcast with someone, make sure you share it with someone that you know hasn't heard of the podcast, or maybe someone that you know would be interested in the podcast. You know, we drop episodes every Thursday. You can find new content every week. So we're giving it to you guys the way that you guys like it, the way that we know how to do it. So we're getting it in today. So let's get this podcast started this week. And this week I was able to listen to a lot of music, but I wanted to talk about artists that I've been really, really gravitating to, especially this week with his latest album. And this is Joyner Lucas. As you know, he first was widespread with his release in 2015 with Ross Capcioni. And then in June 2017, he released his fourth mixtape. And it was labeled 508-507-2209. And this was his first major label deal. And then in November 2017, he released a single, I'm Not Racist, which went viral and was actually nominated for a Grammy Award for the Best Music Video at the 61st Grammy Awards. And then in 2016, Lucas had become known for remixing popular hip-hop songs like Gucci Gang from Lil Pump, Bank Account by 21 Savage, and Panda by Designer. And then many others, but in October 2018 is when he really started honing in on his skills, and also that's when he announced his debut studio album, ADHD, which was released in 2020. And this is when I started really listening to Joyner Lucas a lot more, as his project, ADHD, was one of those highly anticipated albums. Lucas, he ended up featuring Eminem on one of his songs, which was called Lucky You. And I think that that song ended up debuting at number 6 on the Billboard Hot 100. And that was actually Joyner Lucas's like first time being in the charts. And then since then, he has been really honing in on his skills and really making more great music, as he ended up announcing his release date for his EP Evolution, and this was released in 2020. But then in, you know, late 2022, he ended up having a tribute song to Kanye West, which was called Ye Not Crazy. And then he ended up having a similar tribute song to Will Smith, which was entitled Will. And this was actually kind of got some backlash. But Lucas really removed most of these songs on his music service platforms. But then he ended up working with Mark Wahlberg. And he ended up becoming, I'm not going to say a movie star, but this is when he started acting, and then he ended up coming into the films The Family Plan, which was released on Apple TV, and that was late 2023, where he played a role of Coogan. I think he was like a security guard, but he ended up actually doing other acting jobs until his artwork was released, revealing that he is dropping another album called Not Now I'm Busy. And this was, I think, early 2023. But then he ended up releasing another album in March, which was called Sticks and Stones. And that he had some great, you know, a great reception on that album. But it wasn't until I felt like this album, which was his seventh album, and this was called Not Now, I'm Busy. And to me, this was actually, I would have to say, something that I think he was really engaging his audience. And he's really, I feel like he inspires people with his work. As you know, he has been able to level up his mechanics. He's been able to be proficient with dropping albums and also creating great albums. You know, he's usually talking shit mostly about other rappers, basically talking about dissolved relationships, trying to relate to the listener as much as possible. But he does it in a way that I just love, you know. And this is his second studio LP, which is, I feel like, his greatest work yet. He's been proving a lot of people wrong, especially that people that have kind of overlooked his sound, and people that kind of put him in a box, I would have to say, put his sound in a box. You know, he's tougher, he's stronger, he's happier. I feel like he has less to really complain about, as he has been able to make great music. He's been able to kind of put his actor hat on as he's been able to drop these albums. And I feel like, you know, with songs like Broski, which, you know, he really shows his style of art. You know, he talks about close things that really relate to people. And it just really puts you in a place where you want to continue to listen to this album. You know, I feel like sometimes people make albums and they come out annoying in a way. You know, and it seems like when Lucas puts together his albums, I feel like he fuels his albums with what he is going through. You know, he doesn't really talk about things that maybe he's not going through, but, you know, maybe the person next to him or the person that he knows from months ago, or, you know, he's able to relate these stories that really stick to you. And I just want to continue to, you know, make sure that his music is continuing to get, you know, looked at, continuing to get listened to. I know a lot of people haven't listened to this album yet. And this album is called Not Now, I'm Busy. And you can find it on all music platforms right now, Spotify, Apple. I don't believe this was something that I could have, like, missed. I know it was released, you know, in the middle of March. Haven't really got time to it, as music has been dropping, you know, so frequently this year. But this was definitely something that I really wanted to talk about this week, as Joyner Lucas and his album Not Now I'm Busy is one of my favorite drops of this year so far. And my favorite songs off the album are I'm Ill, Waiting on This, and Cut You Off. So if you're looking for a great album, if you're looking for something new to listen to, make sure you check out Joyner Lucas, as he has been really putting out great music and enjoying his journey as much as I have, because, you know, from the start of his journey to now, I think he has grown tremendously, and he's starting to become one of my favorite artists of this day. So if you're looking for something new, if you're looking for something hot, make sure you check out Joyner Lucas's Not Now I'm Busy, and let me know what you guys are listening to this week. Also this week, I was able to watch a lot of different movies, but I really wanted to watch this week Bob Marley, One Love, which is an American biographical drama musical, which was a film based on the life of reggae singer and songwriter Bob Marley, who was played by Kingsley Ben-Adir from his rise to fame in the mid-1970s up until his death in 1981. And this was a great film, and it was directed by Ronaldo Marcus Green, who also co-wrote the screenplay with Terrence Winter. But this movie was amazing, as Bob Marley, One Love premiered, I think, in Jamaica on January 23rd, 2024, and was actually released to the States through Paramount Pictures on February 14th, 2024. And it has received some mixed, you know, reviews. A lot of critics have really talked good and bad about it, but the movie actually grossed $177 million worldwide, making it the eighth highest grossing film of 2024. And if you don't know Bob Marley was a reggae singer. He was known for his Rastafarian religion. Bob Marley, you know, he would perform at concerts promoting peace against, you know, war, against basically government. You know, he was married with his wife Rita. They had several kids, but they also had band members that were right by his side through everything, especially through some of the assassinations that were trying to kill Bob Marley. And it's so sad to think, like, his own countrymen would try to kill him and his wife. And it just shows that the crowd, you know, and the people loved him, but they also kind of were scared of him. He ended up having to send his wife out, you know, to Delaware to stay with his mom, as he ended up going to London to try to record and make one of the best albums of all time, and that's Exodus. And, you know, with their situation and being a band, you know, they still felt a lot of judgment as they were in London, and, you know, they had to go through a lot of different, I don't know how to say it, just how people, how society would treat them just because of their affiliation with Rastafarian, with Jamaica. And the way that, you know, people perceived smoking marijuana at that time was kind of a little different than it is here. But Marley, you know, he ended up recording this album and ended up performing again in front of his hometown in Jamaica. But this movie was so amazing. You know, there's some things that I didn't really realize about Bob Marley, some things that I didn't even think about during those times as things were going on, and how much of a weird situation you had to be in at that time in the 70s, living through this kind of war, through this kind of, I don't know, political ideology, you know? The production of the movie was amazing, as, you know, I think Bob Marley's son, Ziggy Marley, ended up serving as a producer to the movie, so they really got a lot of things right, I felt like, especially when it came to the music and the feeling of the music. I think that's what was so great, as Chris Bowers, you know, he composed the film score, and he did works like Monsters and Men in 2018 and King Richard, which was a great movie. If you haven't seen that was with Will Smith, and that was about the Williams sisters. So if you guys are looking for a great movie this week, make sure you check out the new Bob Marley movie, One Love, and it's out right now. I think it's on, like I said, it's streaming on Paramount. But this movie was amazing. I think the music was what really got me going for this movie. I could not stop moving my feet. Couldn't stop, you know, the rhythms with the movie. I couldn't let go. So if you're looking for something good, if you're looking for something that will hit the soul, make sure you check out Bob Marley, One Love, and let me know what you guys are watching this week. Now let's talk about the biggest Costco in the world, as Costco is now going to be putting in the biggest Costco here in Fresno, California, and they're actually putting the plans together, and they are finally approved to build one of the largest warehouses in Fresno, and this new location will replace the Costco warehouse in West Fresno once its lease expires next year. And this was actually first reported by Fresnoland, but the city council gave the green light this past week to new retail emporium after weeks of deliberation, after people were talking about how traffic congestion, parking requirements, and other things that Costco will have to meet. The existing location on West Shaw Avenue has been open since 1985, but with changing and the growth of Fresno, it's kind of inevitable that there's going to be needing a new Costco. And Costco's developers have outlined 219,000 square feet of warehouse 4 miles away that will feature a 32-pump gas station, a car wash, and a dedicated food delivery service. This will occupy an empty lot of North Riverside Drive and West Herndon Avenue. And Costco, I believe, is excited for this move, as the other biggest Costco is also on the western side of the United States. It's in Salt Lake City, Utah right now. But that Salt Lake City store reigns supreme as the biggest right now, as that warehouse is 235 square feet. But the average size of a Costco in the U.S. is 146,000 square feet, making this new Fresno location approximately 50% bigger. So the members only shopping destination is expected to create 37 full-time jobs, generate $13 million in tax revenue, and $3 million of that slated to remain in Fresno County. So this is going to be a great thing, as construction on the new warehouse is actually scheduled to begin in the fall and to be completed by the end of 2025. So we should be looking forward to a new Costco by the end of next year. Hopefully, you know, we'll see it sooner, but Costco, you know, in Fresno, we have already, I think we have three locations. So this bigger one is going to be, it's going to do tremendous things for our local economy. So I know a lot of people, you know, are looking for new jobs, and I just hope that, you know, this could be something that could land for a lot of people. It says that they're going to, you know, have a lot of other industry that you're going to be able to get into, not only just like the store part. I think they're going to have another type of like warehouse where they'll be doing delivery stuff as well. So it's going to be a huge, huge development. I just hope that, you know, it's going to pay off for a lot of the local area. So make sure you guys stay in the loop about the new location of Costco, and make sure you guys tune into the Blaze Podcast. Now let's talk about one of my favorite events in Fresno, and this is going to involve 280-plus musicians and one Fresno neighborhood, and this is Porch Fest, which is a yearly festival of music, DJs, comedians, which will swarm the Tower District on Saturday for Fresno's Porch Fest, which is branching off of Olive Avenue in all directions. They're making up makeshift stages outside of dozens of households and throughout the neighborhoods of Tower District. And the festivities start early as 10 a.m., I believe, and continue nonstop all day with several after parties at Strummer's, Goldstein's, Howling Wolf. I believe Spokeasy will have something. But this is a rare kind of a performance festival, and it's massive. I mean, there's so many different, you know, neighborhoods that are taking advantage of this Porch Fest. And while it may seem like kind of overwhelming, I believe, you know, you can walk along most of these neighborhoods and you'll see where there's a band playing, if there's local DJ, or if there's someone performing some sort of music or comedy, something. But you can visit towerporchfest.org because, you know, this is an event that you have to see about how they're organizing these set times. And you can check out most of this, the logistics of it, on the website and also the Facebook group. But this year, they organized free parking and city transit and set up portable toilets throughout the neighborhoods. But mostly they say stay out of the way, which means each porch is individually curated, produced, and promoted by its host. Some hosts bring in help from local promoters, but a lot of them are just doing it themselves. So the porches tend to have, you know, running themes, which is good for attendees looking for something specific, you know, like indie rock, folk music, comedy, hip hop. But a lot of these porches are mapped out on the event's website, so you could easily find a spot that you would like to pull up to, you know, in advance. And make sure you guys check out, you know, a lot of these porches, but make sure you check out, make sure you bring your own lounge chairs, as, You know, it is encouraged. Mostly, it's going to be great weather. But make sure you guys do bring some water. Make sure you guys, you know, are hydrated. And make sure you guys know that it is an outside event. So make sure you guys are prepared. Bring an umbrella. Bring a sweater. Bring, you know, maybe some suntan lotion. But this is going to be something that you're going to be hopping around throughout the neighborhood, going to each porch as, you know, this is kind of like the porch hopping kind of thing. As each porch, like I said earlier, is creating their own kind of theme for each porch. But individual performers are slotted on the event's website with start times listed hour by hour. So this is for the people that who know exactly what they want to see, or they're really trying to make a hard decision on what two groups are performing at the same time. But there are several performers booked at different locations throughout the day, which could make things a little bit easier. But I would have to say, you know, make sure you guys park in a universal spot. That way you can, you know, get the full range of the Tower District. It's going to be a lot of walking, but I really just say make sure you guys do park. Don't drive up to the porch. There's going to be tons of people doing that already, but make sure you guys just, you know, go along, walk along, wander around. And this is a good thing, you know, for that neighborhood and also just Tower District at that, because porches are situated within walking distance of Tower Theater. There are half dozen porches grouped together in areas north of Olive, from Poplar to Glen Avenues, and almost a full dozen in blocks between Wishon and Roosevelt Avenues south of McKinley. So like I said, just make it car free. They want people to be biking, skateboarding, you know, just any way you can get there other than a car is encouraged. And those coming from outside the neighborhood can park for free at Fresno City College. Well, there'll be parking and we'll be relaxed for the day. So there, I don't think you'll have to be paying for that day. But the city is also adjusting its Fresno Hop Trolley service route to help people navigate between porches. There'll be 8 pickup and drop-off locations along Olive and McKinley Avenues, from Palm Avenue to Wishon, running every 10 minutes from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. So this is going to be a great event you don't want to miss. Porch Fest is a great place to be, especially if you're looking for something to do over the weekend. And the weather is going to be amazing. So make sure you guys check out Porch Fest this year. There's going to be 280 plus musicians, and it's all going down in one Fresno neighborhood. So make sure you guys check it out and let me know how you guys like Porch Fest. And before we stop talking about local events, I just wanted to say, make sure to check out MC Wix's birthday bash at Full Circle. And that'll be April 26th this weekend on Saturday. And there's going to be a lot of great artists that will be performing that night, including Raw Minus, The Trees, Abstract Poets, Indigenous Cats, and also MC Wix. I think it's going to be only a $5 entry, and I think the doors open around 8 p.m. So this is going to be a great local event, and I just wanted to make sure you guys know about it, because MC Wix is one of those artists you don't want to miss. So this is going to be a great birthday bash for him, April 26th at Full Circle Brewing Company. Can't miss. And if you don't know where Full Circle Brewing, it's 712 Fulton Street, Fresno, California, 93121. This is going to be a great show with a lot of great artists, so make sure you check it out. Now let's talk about local sports, and we'll start off with our Fresno State baseball team, as they have a record of 25-15 and a record of 14-7 in the Mountain West Conference. And this past week, they had a big series against San Jose State, which they ended up having a 3-game series here at home. They started off the first game on Friday, April 18th. They lost 4-6 to San Jose State. Then they lost their second game on April 20th, 7-12, and then they lost their third game 2-9. And then they had another game over the week at home, and they ended up losing 2-15 against CSUN. So they'll have a three-game series this week on the road against Washington State in Pullman, Washington, and that will start off April 26th through April 28th. Then they'll come back home on April 30th on Tuesday to take on Cal Poly here at Pete Biden Field at Bob Bennett Stadium. And then they'll have another Mountain West Conference series on the road next week. So make sure you guys tune into the Blaze Podcast for more on your Fresno State baseball team. Now let's talk about a Fresno State softball team, as they have an overall record of 30-15 and a 10-6 record in the Mountain West. And last week they had a big series against UNLV, a three-game series against UNLV, and they ended up starting the series on April 18th. They ended up losing 1-2. Then they won their second game on April 20th, 7-0. Then they won their third game on April 21st, 6-1. The Dogs will be in a three-game series again this week at home against Colorado State, and they'll be playing April 26th through April 28th. Then next week, the Dogs will have their last series of the season. So make sure you guys tune into the Blaze Podcast for more on your Fresno State softball team. Now let's talk about our Fresno Grizzlies, as they have a record of 12-3 and currently tied in first in the California North Division. And the Grizzlies last week ended up going 5-1 against the Stockton Ports, and they ended up winning their first game 9-2, losing their second game 5-6, winning their third game 8-4, winning their fourth game 9-0, winning their fifth game 7-2, and winning their sixth game 7-3. Then the Grizzlies have a home series this week against the San Jose Giants, and they currently have a 2-0 lead in that series. They won the first game 6-0, and then won their second game 5-0. And this weekend, the Grizzlies will have four more home games, and on Friday, they'll have halfway to Halloween. On Saturday, they'll have Zoo Night. And then on Sunday, they'll have Meet Bluey and Bingo Day. And then next week, they'll end up playing Inland Empire on the 30th and finish off their series against Inland Empire next week on Sunday. And then they'll have a home series the second week in May. So make sure you guys tune in to the Blaze Podcast for more on your Fresno Grizzlies. Now let's talk about our Central Valley Fuego, as they have a record of 1-4 and they're currently last in the USL 1 division. And this week they'll have a big game against Spokane Velocity on the road, and they'll be playing at 3 p.m. in Spokane Stadium. And this will be a League 1 Cup competition. And next week they'll be having a home game, so make sure you guys tune in to the Blaze Podcast for more on your Central Valley Fuego. Now let's talk about our Valley FC, as they had a huge game over the weekend against Riverbank FC, and they ended up winning on the road, and they beat Riverbank FC 3-2 for a great team win with goals from Gutierrez, Padilla, and Mesa. And the FC will be back in action on May 4th against Oceano Sports. And that will be actually a home game. So make sure you guys tune into the Blaze Podcast for more on your Valley FC. Now let's talk about the MLB. And we'll start off with our California teams from the National League West, as the Dodgers have a record of 15-11. And the Dodgers had a series on the road against the Mets, and they ended up going 1-2 against the Mets. The Mets beat the Dodgers their first game 9-4. The Mets beat the Dodgers their second game 6-4, and then the Dodgers beat the Mets 10-0. And then the Dodgers ended up having a three-game series against the Nationals also on the road. The Dodgers are currently 2-0 against the Nationals right now. They beat the Nationals 4-1 their first game, 11-2 their second game, and then today they'll have their third game. And then the Dodgers will be on the road again this weekend versus the Blue Jays, and then on the road again versus the Diamondbacks next week. So make sure to tune in to the Blaze Podcast for more on your Los Angeles Dodgers. Now let's talk about the Padres, as they're currently second in the National West Division, and they have a record of 14-13. And last week they had a home series against the Blue Jays, and they ended up going 1-2. The Blue Jays beat the Padres 5-1 their first game, and 5-2 their second game. Then the Padres beat the Blue Jays 6-3 their third game. And right now, currently, the Padres are on the road against the Rockies in a four-game series. And so far, the Padres are 2-1. The Padres beat the Rockies 3-1 their first game. The Rockies beat the Padres 7-4 their second game. And then the Padres beat the Rockies 5-2 their third game. They'll have their fourth game today. Then the Padres will have a home series against the Phillies over the weekend. And then they'll take on the Reds at home again over the week. So make sure to tune into the Blaze Podcast for more on your San Diego Padres. Now let's talk about my San Francisco Giants, as they are currently tied in third place with the Diamondbacks. But they have a record of 12-14. And the Giants had a series versus the Diamondbacks last week, which they played at home. And they ended up beating the Diamondbacks their first game 5-0. Then the Diamondbacks beat the Giants 17-1. Then the Giants beat the Diamondbacks 7-3. And the Diamondbacks beat the Giants their last game 5-3. So they ended up going 2-2 versus the Diamondbacks. Then they had a three-game series against the Mets, which the Giants ended up going 2-1 versus the Mets. They got their first game 5-2. Then the Giants got their second game 5-1. And then the Mets got the third game 8-2. The Giants will be playing against the Pirates this week at home. And then they'll have a road series against the Red Sox over the week. So make sure to tune into the Blaze Podcast for more on your San Francisco Giants. Now let's talk about our American League West teams, as the Angels have a record of 10-15. And they had a series against the Reds, which they played away. And the Reds beat the Angels 7-1 their first game. The Reds beat the Angels 7-5 their second game. And the Reds beat the Angels 3-0 the third game, which the Reds swept the Angels in the three-game series. Then the Angels had a three-game series at home versus the Orioles, which the Orioles beat the Angels 4-2 their first game. Then the Angels beat the Orioles 7-4 their second game. Then the Orioles beat the Angels 6-5 their third game, which they ended up, the Angels going 1-2 versus the Orioles over the weekend. Then this week, and the Angels will be taking on the Twins at home, and then they'll have a series against the Phillies at home over the week. So make sure to tune in to the Blaze Podcast for more on your Los Angeles Angels. Now let's talk about the Oakland A's, as they are currently fourth in the American League West, as they have a record of 9-16. And the A's had a three-game series on the road versus the Guardians. They ended up going 0-3 against the Guardians. They lost their first game 10-2, lost their second game 6-3, and then lost their third game 6-2. Then the A's took on the Yankees for a four-game series, and currently they are 1-2 as the A's beat the Yankees their first game 2-0. Yankees beat the A's their second game 4-3. Then the Yankees beat the A's 7-3 their third game. They'll play their fourth game today. Then the A's will be on the road versus the Orioles over the weekend. And then the A's will have a home series against the Pirates over the week. So make sure to tune into the Blaze Podcast for more on your Oakland A's. Now let's talk about the NBA, and we'll start talking about the NBA playoffs. As in the East, we have the number one Celtics versus the number eight Heat. And so far, we got a series that is 1-1. Boston won the first game. Miami won the second game. Both are averaging above 100 points in the series. But the series leaders have been Jason Tatum, who has been scoring 25.5, 9 rebounds, and 6 assists throughout the series. And Bam Adebayo, who has been leading the Miami Heat with 22.5 points, 8 rebounds per game, and 2.5 assists per game. And this week, they will be having game 3 on Saturday, and then game 4 on Monday, and then also game 5 on Wednesday. So they'll have game 6 and game 7, if necessary, to be determined on Friday, the time, and then to be determined the time on Sunday, May 5th. So this is going to be a great series. I think it might end up going to 6, and if it goes to 6, they'll end it there in Miami. And I think Boston will end up taking this series, but the Heat have been playing pretty good. And then it, also in the East, we got the number 4 Cavaliers versus the number 5 Magic. And so far, the Cavaliers have just had the Magic's number. They beat the Magic the first game and the second game. The Cavs are averaging right now 96.5 points in the series, and the Magic are averaging 84.5 points in the series. And so far, the series leaders have been, for the Cavs, Jarrett Allen, who is their center, and he's been scoring 16 points per game, 19 rebounds a game, and 2 assists per game. And then for the Magic, Paolo Banchero has been their number one scorer, and also rebounds and assists per game, as he's been averaging 22.5 points per game, 5 rebounds per game, and 4 assists per game during this series. I think the Cavs will end up sealing the deal. Maybe the Magic will have one game, so I think they'll end up winning. The Cavs will end up winning the series in game 5. But that will be on the next 2 games will be, like I said, in Orlando, and game 3 will be on today, and then they'll play game 4 on Saturday. Game 5, if necessary, will be on Tuesday. Game 6, if necessary, will be on Friday. And game 7, if necessary, will be on Sunday. But this is going to be a great series. Even though it's 2-0 right now in the Cavs' favor, I still think Magic can still steal one and make it a series. But also in the East, we got the number 3 team, the Bucks, versus number 6 team, the Pacers. And this series has been wild, as Milwaukee beat the Pacers the first game, and then the Pacers ended up beating Milwaukee the second game, splitting the home series for Milwaukee, as the Milwaukee has been averaging 108.5 points during the series, and the Pacers have been averaging 109.5 points during the series. And for Milwaukee, Damian Lillard has been their leader, as he's been averaging 34.5 points during the series, with 5 rebounds per game and 4 assists per game. And then for Indiana, Pascal Siakam has been their number one option, as he's been scoring the ball with 36.5 points per game, 12 rebounds per game, and also 4 assists per game. I think this is another one that could be going maybe to 7. I would have to say it might go to 7, depending on how Giannis's injury is going to, how far it's going to take them. I mean, the Pacers are a great team, and they're one of the highest scoring teams. So they'll have the next 2 games, which will be on Friday and Saturday, will be in Indiana. Game 5 will be back in Milwaukee, and then game 6 will be back in Indiana, and then game 7 will be back in Milwaukee. So it's going to be a great series, as, like I said, the next 2 games in Indiana will be Friday and Sunday. Then the game in Milwaukee will be Tuesday. Then the game in Indiana will be Thursday. And then the last game, game 7, if necessary, will be on Saturday. I think this is going to be a series that might go probably down to the wire all the way to game 7. But then right now, we got the number 2 team, the Knicks, versus the number 7 team, the 76ers, which the Knicks have been giving the 76ers number both games. They beat the Knicks beat the Sixers 111-104 their first game, and then the Knicks barely got by the Sixers 104-101 game 2. And then game 3 and game 4, which will be tonight and Sunday, will be in Philadelphia. And then game 5, if necessary, will be in New York, and then back at Philadelphia for game 6, and then back in New York for game 7. This is a big series, as the Knicks have been scoring the ball pretty well, as you know, they've been averaging 107.5 points throughout the series to the 76ers, 102. And it has been because of Josh Hart, who has been scoring at will. I mean, he's been, besides Brunson, I feel like Josh Hart is the second option for the team right now, as he's been scoring 21.5 points per game with 14 rebounds per game and 2.5 assists per game. And then for the Sixers, it has been, you know, the comeback player of the year, which Tyrese Maxey, who ended up getting that award, he's now scoring 34 points per game, 5 rebounds per game, and 7 assists per game. So this series is also heating up, as the next two games will be in Philadelphia on Thursday and Sunday, and then back in New York on Tuesday. It's Philadelphia on Thursday, and then New York on Saturday. So this is going to be another big series, and I feel like this could also go to Game 7, depending on how Embiid's injury is also doing. So that's it for the East, but what a big, big playoff push for all these teams. And then for the West, we got the number one Thunder versus the number 8 Pelicans. And so far, OKC just has the Pelicans number. I don't know if they will even win a game, but the OKC beat Pelicans 94-92 their first game, 124-92 their second game. The next two games will be in New Orleans on Saturday and Monday, and then Game 5, if necessary, will be on Wednesday. Game 6, if necessary, will be on Friday, and Game 7, if necessary, will be on Sunday. But I just think OKC right now has the upper hand, as they have been scoring the ball, averaging 109 points per game to New Orleans 92 points per game. And it's all because of Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who has been scoring the ball at will. I mean, this guy's an amazing specimen. He averages 30 points per game, 4 rebounds per game, and 4 assists per game, as he's been leading OKC against the Pelicans, which has been playing pretty well since the play-in. They beat the Warriors to get in. And Jonas Valanciunas has been their leader, as he's been scoring the ball 16 points per game, rebounding 13 rebounds per game, and has 2 assists per game. And I just think OKC is probably going to get the best out of the Pelicans in this one and may get the sweep. So also in the Western Conference, we got the Clippers that are number 4 and the Mavericks, who are number 5. And so far it is neck to neck. They got 1-1, as the Clippers beat the Mavs the first game 109-97, and then the Mavs beat the Clippers 96-93 to steal 1 at home in LA. The next two games will be in Dallas. Those will be on Friday and on Saturday, on Sunday, I mean. Then they'll go back to LA on Wednesday to play Game 5. And Game 6, if necessary, will be on Friday. Game 7, if necessary, will then be on Sunday. So this is another series that I believe could go to 7 games. And if, who knows, if the Clippers could steal 1 at home here, they might go back and be able to finish the series off in Game 7 at home. But I just feel like the Mavs are just one of those teams at home that could really get it done, especially because they have been scoring the ball pretty well. But the Clippers are averaging a higher points per game, as they've been averaging 101 points per game this series so far. And then the Mavs has only been averaging only 96.5 this series, as they're usually well above the 100 mark during the season. But the Clippers have been led by James Harden, who has been scoring at will 25 points per game, 4 rebounds per game, and 8 assists per game. And of course, for the Mavs, it has been Luka Doncic, who has been scoring 32 points per game, 9 rebounds per game, and 7 points per game. Like I said, I think this one will go 7, and I believe it will probably go into the Clippers' favor. And then right now, we also got the number 3 Timberwolves versus the number 6 Suns, which this is also an exciting series right now, which Minnesota leads 2-0. They got the first game, really put a beating on the Suns, 120-95. And then they ended up beating the Suns again, 105-93 for game two. But the next two games will be in Phoenix. Those will be on Friday and Sunday. And then game five, if necessary, will be on Tuesday. Game six, if necessary, will be on Thursday. Game seven, if necessary, will be on Saturday. And it has been because the Timberwolves have been able to score at a high rate. They've been scoring the ball for 112 points per game, as the Suns have only been scoring the ball at 94 points per game. And it's because of Anthony Edwards, the Timberwolves have been able to really get the mismatches they get for each possession, as Anthony Edwards is someone unguardable, as he's been scoring the ball at 24 points per game and averaging 7 rebounds per game and 7 assists per game. And it's been going against Kevin Durant, who has been always scoring the ball very well at high rate. And he's been scoring the ball at 24 points per game, as he's been averaging 6 rebounds per game and also 1 assist per game. And I just feel like the Timberwolves just have the edge on this series, as Anthony Edwards, I feel like, is going to be the future of the NBA. And I feel like Phoenix could probably get one here at home, but then that means that they would finish it off in Minnesota on game five. So I just feel like Anthony Edwards is someone tough to guard. And when he goes one-on-one with any opponent, I think I would take Anthony Edwards. So I think Timberwolves in five. And then right now we got the Nuggets, the number two team, versus the Lakers, who are number seven team. And Denver just looks to have the Lakers' number. I don't know what to say, as Denver leads the series 2-0. Denver right now, with their 1-2 punch with Jamal Murray and Jokic, I just don't see very many teams being able to compete. But the next two games will be in LA, as game three will be tonight, and then game four will be on Saturday. And then game five, if necessary, will be on Monday. Game six, if necessary, will be on Thursday. And then game seven, if necessary, will be on Saturday. But I just feel like the Lakers are really with their backs against the wall. Hopefully they could steal one at home. It's going to be definitely difficult, as, you know, they have been able to really lead the series in the first three quarters, but really lacked the last fourth quarter in both games. It's just been really scary to see the Lakers play that way. But the Denver Nuggets have been averaging 107 points per game, as the Lakers have only been averaging 101 points per game. And the leader for the Nuggets have been, of course, Nikola Jokic, who's been averaging 29 points per game, 16 rebounds per game, and 8 rebounds per game. And it has been going against Anthony Davis. This one-on-one matchup against Anthony Davis and Nikola Jokic is going to be a rivalry until they retire, I believe. But Anthony Davis has been averaging 32 points per game, with 12 rebounds per game and 3 assists per game. And this is going to be another series that I think is a must-watch, as I feel like the Nuggets will probably get the upper hand, but I feel like the Lakers still have a chance. So this is the playoff picture in the NBA. I know it's a long segment, but this is something that I love, as the NBA is starting to heat up in the NBA playoffs. And quickly, let's just talk about the NFL draft, as it's going to be tonight. And of course, this is a big night for a lot of, you know, NFL players, but I think it's a bigger night for Caleb Williams, as he is probably the only person that people have been talking about in this year's draft, as it's going to take place today. And I just wanted to say about Caleb Williams that, you know, I feel like he is going to have a great season with the Chicago Bears. As, you know, the Chicago Bears ended up trading Justin Fields. And so I believe he will be that number one unanimous decision for the Chicago Bears, as they traded, you know, Carolina for this top for this top pick. But the Chicago Bears also made some moves by trading veteran receiver Keenan Allen, who was actually at Caleb Williams' pro day. They also got DJ Moore, who they ended up trading to Carolina, which is now involving the 2023 first overall pick. I just know, you know, they could use a lot more depth at receiver. You know, they got some options maybe later in the draft for a left tackle, something like that. But they're gonna need to be able to protect Caleb Williams if they want him to be who he is. There's other great picks in the draft, you know, as we know the Commanders have that number two and New England has the number three. So I just believe this is going to be a great draft, but it has been all about Caleb Williams so far and him going number one for Chicago and how Chicago is just making the moves just to be able to get someone like Caleb Williams. I think it's going to be incredible to see him next year, to see him. He's more likely starting, and he's probably going to be starting with these top receivers. It's going to be incredible to watch. So I just want you guys just to be aware that today is the NFL draft. So make sure you guys tune in to the Blaze Podcast for more on the NFL. But I want to thank you for pushing play each and every week. You know, your support goes a long way for this independent podcast. I just want to remind you guys just to support everything local, support your local businesses, support your local artists, support your local podcasts. I'm Alejandro Oveda signing off episode 270.